This is the 16th Sunday after Pentecost, and we've got a beautiful day for it. Our Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 35, beginning at the 4th verse. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from James chapter 2. My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand there or sit on the floor by my feet. Have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, Ephatha, which means be opened. At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. He has done everything well, they said. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. This is the gospel of God.
Thanks be to God. Well, I greet you in the all-powerful name of Jesus this morning. The day after tomorrow will be the 17th anniversary of the September 11th attack on our country by radical elements of a Mid-Eastern religion. To say that that attack was successful, I think, may be understating it a little bit. I believe that they achieved even more than they set out to do, because almost everyone on this planet has been affected by the events of that day. And the repercussions of that event still reverberate around the world as we speak. The world was changed by their actions, and not in a good way. We no longer can travel as easily as we used to. People look with more suspicion on outsiders than they used to. There's a whole bureaucracy of the federal government that was established to monitor and to screen and to generally deal with people that want to cause harm, cause destruction. Many people have died in wars that were directly linked to that particular event. Some of those wars are still raging today. And all of that was done in the name of their religious belief. Now, we don't believe the way they do, but they were and still are committed to their beliefs, and many of them don't mind dying for their faith. Of course, I believe that you know, the faith of the radical elements of that religion are inspired and encouraged by Satan himself. But they're dedicated to it, and they will do everything they can to carry out the deeds that they want to carry out. Oh, that our Christian belief would have such passion behind it. You see, even though what they did was evil, they didn't just talk about it. They didn't just share it amongst themselves. They actually had faith to act on it, to carry it out, to advance their cause. They didn't just believe it. They risked everything to carry it out. Can you imagine what this world would be like if Christians had the same passion to change the world for, you know, in a positive way, for God's purposes? Wow, this world would be radically changed. Now that brings me to our second lesson today. In the book of James, James wrote this book, and you know, he asks us a question in our lessons today. A question that to him probably was rhetorical, but to us, it's a very real question. It's found in verse 14. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Well, before we get too perplexed about the dichotomy that we have, we have to recognize that since the creation of mankind, it's not just Satan that is doing things, that is working in the hearts of men to change the world. God, too, certainly has been working to change people's hearts so that they would return to Him, our Creator. And we know who will prevail in the end, don't we? Because this world and the future of mankind has been radically changed by the physical presence of God on this earth in the form of Jesus Christ. He certainly had deeds to show that He is God and to show that His way is the only true way to preserve our chance to have an eternal future, which is all what this spiritual battling is about. You see, Jesus, through His ministry and by His crucifixion and by His resurrection, changed everything. He changed the world. He destroyed what Satan had been trying to do since the beginning. It's just that Satan hasn't given up yet. He still tries to influence people in an evil way, to forget about God, to fall away from God. Last week, we talked about being in a battle. A battle not with men, but with the dark powers of this world, and with the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. In other words, with Satan himself. We talked about how God gave us the needed armor that we need and the weapon that we need to defeat Satan. But that brings us back to James's question. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds. You see, God has given us the gift of faith to believe in Jesus. Jesus is the physical manifestation of God on this earth, who showed us who He is, who showed us why we should believe in Him through His deeds. Yes, Jesus did give us eternal, life-saving words that we can take to heart. But He also did things to show us His commitment to His ministry and His mission. I mean, we see that in our gospel lesson today when He unstopped the ears of the deaf man and unstopped his tongue. We know that Jesus never did anything for show. He had a reason why He chose to unstop that man's ears and loosen his tongue. Yes, He showed His divine power over the forces of darkness that caused the man's affliction to begin with. And therefore, He is the Son of God. But I believe that He was using this as a metaphor to show that our ears need to be opened by the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can hear the Word of God and so that more people can come to faith in Jesus Christ. You remember what Jesus was fond of telling people that He was talking to in that time. He said, "Whoever has ears, let him hear." To have unstopped ears is to have a focus and understanding of what you're hearing. Too many times in this life, the noise of this world gets in the way of people hearing the message of the cross. And I also believe that Jesus unloosened the tongue of that man as a metaphor that we all need our tongues loosened so that we can tell others about the glory and the wonderful gift of Jesus. Jesus didn't just talk, even though as wonderful as that was. He showed people and us who He is and why He came, what He came to bring this world. The most important deed that He did was to go to the cross and be, you know, give up His physical life as a sacrifice for our sins. What if Jesus had just talked and didn't do any deeds to show that He was the Son of God? Do you think the world would be changed like it is? I don't think so. Because He wouldn't have gone to the cross and then be raised from the dead to conquer death. We would still be in our sins, and we would have no hope for eternal future. As Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, "And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith." You see, the actions of Jesus in this world are crucial to our faith and to our future. So what about the deeds of our faith? Well, they should follow Jesus' example by helping other people, by showing through our actions that we follow Him, that we're one of His disciples, by helping other individuals who need helping, just like Jesus did, by supporting ministries that advance Christianity to bring the good news to people that haven't heard it yet. Does helping other people mean that you have faith in Jesus? Not necessarily. I mean, you know, it depends on what's in your heart. You can help other people out of selfish or worldly purposes. The Jewish leaders readily did that every day. They thought they were conveying religious intent to the people that saw what it was that they were doing, but they were really putting on a show. Their real intent was for selfish purposes. But for us Christians, good deeds flow out of an abundance of gratitude to God for the gift that He gave us that we find in Christ Jesus. Now, let me be clear. We are not saved by good deeds. We are saved to do good deeds. As Paul said in his letter to the Ephesians in chapter 2, he says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." God prepared in advance for us to do good works. God expects us to put our faith into action. Now, some people read the book of James and wrongly conclude that James was advocating a works salvation philosophy. That was not true. James said in our second lesson today from chapter 2, he said, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm, well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." And then he goes on in that chapter to say, "As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." What James is saying here is that if you have faith to believe in Jesus, how can you not have deeds to show that you're a Christian? Just like the deeds that Jesus showed who He was. In other words, James kind of turns it around. You're not saved by doing good works, but can you have faith without doing good works of some kind? The bottom line takeaway for us today is God wants us to show our faith in Him by living out our faith in a way that others can see and can benefit from. I mean, God showed His love for us by sending Jesus as the sacrifice for our sins, right? That was an action that He took. Jesus obeyed His Father and became that sacrifice, right? That was an action that He took. We receive faith to believe in all that Jesus accomplished. What action are we taking? As I said, good deeds are a reflection on our appreciation of God for His love for us. Paul tells us in Colossians 2, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." When we show Jesus' love by helping other people, we're showing Him that we love Him too. We're obeying Jesus' command. You remember the command? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. When we do good works in His name, we glorify Him. As Jesus said in John 15, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." When we work together to help other people, we're benefiting ourselves, yes, but we're also bolstering others to work together as the body of Christ to accomplish the purposes for which we were created. And we're showing Satan that he can't diminish what God started. As Peter said in his first letter, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Don't you want to do that? Folks, let's live our faith out loud. That means using our unstuck tongues to tell others about Jesus. That means working to make this world a better place in spite of all the destruction, in spite of all the corruption that we see every day or all around us. When we receive faith in Jesus, we're new creations. We've been called out of the grave of our sins into the glorious light of Jesus. We've been rescued. We're made new, just like Jesus made that deaf and mute man new. And we learn that good works are the result and not the cause of being new creations. Our deeds testify to the fact that we've been redeemed so that our lives can reflect God, can reflect his craftsmanship of us, can reflect the character of God. Good works are the result of us being united to Christ, because without him, we can't do anything that pleases God. But in Christ, we perform God-honoring acts of obedience. In Christ, we can be confident that God accepts our weak and our wobbly efforts. Paul wrote that good works are the result of God's plan for the Christian life. We don't have to guess about what God's plan is. It's in his holy word. We don't, you know, he told us what he expects of us. Good works are deeds done in conformity with God's words, God's law, God's commands for us. And so I say to all of us, let's live out our faith. Indeed. Amen? Amen.